Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Triple Threat Sports Radio 610 live at the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk in Arlington at Humperdinck's. We are up here for opening day today. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be at the game tomorrow night between the Astros and the Rangers. Astros continue to lead the Rangers 4-0. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, and three-time Super Bowl champ Ted Johnson with you on a Thursday, and pleased to be joined right now, as many of you know, Michael Bennett, Houstonian, former Seahawk, now Eagle defensive lineman, has some ongoing legal drama that happened allegedly in our city back at Super Bowl 51. He is accused of shoving a 66-year-old paraplegic security guard while attempting to get onto the field to celebrate with his brother Martellus Bennett. He turned himself in on Monday. Joining us right now to talk about that case is Michael Bennett's attorney, and we've had Rusty Harden on before, so it's a pleasure to welcome him back on now. Rusty Harden joining us on the Triple Threat here on Sports Radio 610. Rusty, how are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show. So let's start off here, I guess, where I know you have, in interviews that we've seen, have proclaimed that Michael Bennett is eventually going to be seen not guilty of what he's accused of. And yet we have quotes from the chief of police, Art Acevedo, that have gone so far as to not only accuse Michael Bennett of this, but call him things like morally corrupt and morally bankrupt. Rusty, I guess just take us through where the disconnect is here. And why do you think that the chief of police has been so forceful in his statements about this case?
Well, the chief of police has had no personal knowledge then and has no personal knowledge now of what happened. I have enjoyed the chief of police. I like him. I think he's been doing a good job. But I have told anybody that wants to listen that he was way over the top on this, and he knows I feel that way. I've mentioned it once before. You don't go out and make those kind of statements as a person of authority in the criminal justice system. Not only is it tremendously unfair and sort of does away with the presumption of innocence and let's wait and see what the facts are type attitude, but it's extremely harmful to both the reputation of the person accused or not. And we're going to find out, as I've said repeatedly, Michael Bennett's not guilty of this. And yet we have one of the two leading law enforcement people in the city and county saying that not only that he was guilty, but he was morally bankrupt. I would say, predict, that the chief is going to regret having gone so far over the top on this. But he did, and we have to sort of deal with the consequences.
Hey, Rusty, why do you think it took so long for these charges to be filed? I mean, Super Bowl 51 was about 15 months ago. Why are we hearing about this now?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's so far unanswered. And I would suggest to you that that's one reason the chief took such an aggressive deal on Friday. I think he started out, you look at that press conference, both watch it and everything, you'll see he really is trying to deal with that position or question you just asked anticipatorily. He's trying to take off any blame that would happen within his office because there's no excuse for having gone 14 months. I don't care how busy you are or whatever. If you're going to file charges on someone, you investigate it and you present the charges and you go forward or not. The district attorneys didn't even get this case, I don't think, until sometime probably in January of this year, 11 months after it happened. I don't know. If you look at it, it really doesn't start being investigated, it looks like, until sometime in September.
Especially something as egregious as these allegations with a paraplegic involved. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, something like this, if it were true, would not be fast-tracked more so than it has been. Has I don't know if you're at liberty, how much you're at liberty, Rusty, to elaborate on the particulars, but has Michael Bennett given you his side, his explanation of exactly what happened that day?
Well, yeah, and it is all that he didn't do anything with a woman in a wheelchair. And after that, he's sort of at a loss. Keep in mind, this guy's been an incredible citizen. I realize he's taken position on a social issue that some people disagree with. My son is a Houston police officer. I've always been very, very pro-police, 15 years as a prosecutor. But that doesn't mean that people can't disagree with me and others as to the position. And Michael has taken some pretty public positions about police shootings around the country. That has nothing to do with this particular event, and it shouldn't even enter into this particular event. And I think I don't know why the chief took this position, but I think I can guess on some. I think it was reported to him the way you're talking about, that a 66-year-old woman in a wheelchair was somehow pushed and injured, and by a great big football player. Well, I don't know what injury she got. I've never met her or talked to her, but I know Michael didn't do it. And I know also that what the statute is, keep in mind, this would be a misdemeanor except for her age. You have to understand when we say bodily injury, it's defined as pain. So all it takes is if I walk up to you and pinch you, or you stick your hand out at me and I move it aside, and I'm willing to say that hurt, or the person that's hand stuck their hand is willing to say it hurt, they've now had bodily injury. And in the absence of a weapon, or the absence of serious bodily injury, or in the absence of the person being disabled or over 65, that is a misdemeanor. But what made it a felony here was her age. If you're a chief of police and your people come to you and say, this big football player did so-and-so, this woman's 66 in a wheelchair. Yeah, it's not unreasonable for you to be upset about that. It is unreasonable for you to talk about it the way you do because of your position as chief of police. But you can see why it would sort of incite people, and that's what's happened publicly. The fact is, I don't know how or why she was injured, but keep in mind this. There were multiple families of Patriot players sitting together. When the game was over, like every other Super Bowl, every other major championship, the family is then looking to get down on the field. And these were multiple families. Michael wasn't even the first person through that door to go down on the field. He actually had press credentials. He was entitled to go down on the floor if we ever got to that because he'd been doing interviews of players and others for Fox News. But his family and other families wanted to go down there. And that's all it was. At the end of the day, we're going to find out he was actually, at the end of all of this, escorted down onto the field by a police officer. So at the end of the day, we're going to see that whatever happened to this lady, and obviously she's in a sympathetic position, it wasn't done by Michael, and it wasn't an assault, and he's not the one responsible for it, whatever may have happened to her. But there were like 20 to 35 people going through that door. As I say, it wasn't even him. And he was entitled to be down there himself. But this is like every other one of these cases. Fans and family members go down on the field. Families are usually escorted down, and that happens all the time. So I don't know all the facts yet because we're still trying to get the information from the district attorney's office. But at the end of the day, I'm going to predict to you that neither the DA's office nor the police had the full story. I don't know why in the hell it took this long. One of our problems now is going to be going back 14 months and looking for witnesses, not knowing who all was there. He was not talked to about it that night. He was not told about anything that was supposed to have happened that night. He wasn't arrested. He wasn't given a ticket. 14 months later, he's indicted, and the chief of police is going off on him. That's basically what happened.
Rusty Harden joining us on Sports Radio 610. Rusty, I want to get your opinion on this. Just Michael was involved in an incident in Las Vegas last year in which he came out very publicly after the incident and thought that he was racially profiled at an incident at a casino. And video came out that painted a picture that was very much to the contrary of that. And it kind of painted Michael in a negative light. And it certainly, the police, Michael's initial accusations painted the police in Vegas in a negative light, which may not have been justified. In your opinion, do you think any of Chief Acevedo's vitriol towards Michael has anything to do with that Las Vegas incident?
I don't think the chief even knew who Michael Bennett was at the time he was talking, but it is possible that that would have affected the people who told him what happened, that were reporting on him before to him. He may have been told things about Michael that weren't true. And by the way, I just re-looked at the video of Vegas. You have to remember what that was, really. Michael, there was a shooting. The report to the police apparently was that it was a black male. The fight was probably 85% African-American or 70%, whatever it was. The black males were all over the place. But Michael was handcuffed. He was running, trying to get out of the scene when somebody reports shooting. He is handcuffed, thrown to the ground, and there's a gun pointing at him. It is not unreasonable for African-American males in today's society and circumstances going on to think themselves that they had been targeted. That doesn't mean they were racially targeted, but it's certainly not unreasonable for him to perceive it that way. And it is part of the debate. And I, quite frankly, I'll get all everybody upset on the listeners, but I'm a subscriber to the Popovich discussion about all of this race when he was talking about people kneeling at the games. And that is, we can't have meaningful discussions and perceptions about race in this country until we white folks recognize that we were born and admit we were born on third base. We've had advantages that others have not, and we haven't lived their life. And so what a black man may perceive, whether it is right or not wrong, is not unreasonable for him to somehow perceive it differently than whites do. And so, yes, he made those comments, but there is no question he was thrown to the ground, handcuffed, and put in a car. If that happens to you and I, we're not going to say it's happening to us because we're white. Is it unreasonable for a black man to think that initially? And what happens? I think it is not unreasonable. And that's all that was. Look, he has relatives that are police officers. He's not anti-police officer. But we have to recognize there is a sizable segment of our community that believes blacks are unfairly targeted. I am the father of a police officer. I am incredibly pro-police. I like this chief of police, but I hope people like me can back up and realize it's not unreasonable for a black man to perceive it differently. And that's all we're talking about here. This guy was Man of the Year in Seattle. And this man has a foundation that does incredible work for wounded warriors, for disabled kids, for the disabled adults. He has a life that is extremely admirable. And so the fact that he perceives how police treat people one way that is different than the way others do should not detract from what an incredibly productive and really admirable life.
All right, Rusty, on a lighter note, do you think it's NBA championship or bust for the Houston Rockets?
I love watching this team. I love watching this team. And I'll tell you what, if Daryl Morey is not executive of the year, people are living on Mars. Putting that team together with those different spots, what these guys have proven is you don't have to have three superstars. You can do it with two superstars and incredibly good and rightly positioned other players and role players. This team plays. I was sitting there watching the other night. We have at least 10 or 11 that can kind of light it up and move and spot. And you watch them spotting and keeping that open space. I tell you, I love it. I think it's our year.
We talk all the time, Rusty, about how fortunate we are in Houston right now with the current state of the Rockets, the Astros, of course, defending champs. The Texans obviously have their first ever franchise quarterback. It's like, it's almost one of these pinch me things. It's going so well here in Houston. What did you think when you heard Tillman Fertitta was buying the Rockets?
Well, I knew that he's a huge Rockets fan. I suspected he was going to continue to do exactly what Les did, and that's put money into the team as needed. He's also, you can see, been incredibly supportive in there. We've got a hometown owner. We've got somebody who's absolutely determined to make things work. He announced at the game the other night something that I think is totally true. His and his family's heart is with the Rockets and the University of Houston. I think those are pretty two good objects.
Amen.
No question. Rusty Harden, attorney for Michael Bennett, and as indicated in the last couple minutes, when he comes on our show, also a few minutes of diehard Rocket fan Rusty Harden,
no doubt,
as well here on the show. Hey, Rusty, we really appreciate
the Cougars. And the Cougars.
And the Cougars.
You need to go watch the Cougars next year. They're going to be outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. And a new, brand new building, too, for the basketball team as well.
Yeah.
The Fertitta Center. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Rusty, we appreciate you making time, as always. Certainly best of luck with this case with Michael Bennett, and we look forward to doing it again with you soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rusty.
All right, y'all take care.
All right, you too. Rusty Harden joining us here.
Gee, guess what?
Huh? Finally.
Giles gave up a run.
Oh.
Rich?
the biggest lock of the day right there.
Eventually, you're going to come around on this school of thought with us here.
I don't think he realizes that when you come in and it's 4-0 and you give up a run, that doesn't make it a safe situation.
Yeah, you can't get it down to where the tying run. It can't be that you're putting all the tying runs on base. You have to come in with the tying runs on base. All right. We thank Rusty Harden for joining us on the show. Really good insight into what's going to be a pretty interesting case. The one thing...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.